In recent years, academic medical centers have expanded through mergers and acquisitions and utilized aggressive marketing and other strategies in attempts to boost profits. This focus on maximizing profit generation could threaten trainee development. I'm Stephen Morrissey, managing editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Chetan Vyas, a professor of medicine and associate dean for academic innovation at the Columbia University Vagelos College of Physicians and Surgeons. Dr. Vyas has written a perspective article about corporate medicine and medical training as part of the journal series on the corporatization of U.S. healthcare. Dr. Vyas, could you start by talking a bit about the history of academic medicine? What were the original goals of establishing university-affiliated hospitals?
The purpose of academic medical centers really was to be able to put into one place the opportunity not only to take care of patients, but also to advance patient care through research. And to juxtapose on that engine the opportunity to train the next generation of physicians. And so the idea that academic medical centers started at its root with both patient care, research, and education was not an accident, but was rather deliberate in terms of ensuring that each one would inform the other.
And then, what role do academic medical centers currently play in training medical students, residents, fellows?
A vital one. Most of our medical schools are part of academic medical centers, and it is, again, no historical accident that we put medical students right next to the nexus of basic science and clinical research that takes place. And so when we start to train our individuals, we want them to be in an environment where they can see what taking an unsolved problem looks like and then starting to apply our research methods in a way to solve some of the clinical medicine's most vexing problems. In that, we've also included residents. Residents spend time both at either academic medical centers or community-based hospitals, but the opportunity to be able to see the output of that research through research journals and being able to be connoisseurs of this type of medical research is an important goal of graduate medical education.
You say in your article that the covenant between academic medical centers and society was based on the premise that these programs were in society's best interest. So, what benefits have these institutions been expected to offer, and what do they receive in return?
Academic medical centers enter into a covenant with society, and as a result of that, they provide care to our patients today, and they extend into the community to ensure that the community is well taken care of. But in addition to that, academic medical centers play an important role in terms of the future of medicine. They do that in two very important ways. One is training the next generation of physicians and fostering physician scientists, as well as ensuring that the medical research that goes on is going to be able to not only advance our understanding of scientific principles, but also apply them to the greatest challenges that we have in medicine today. Society recognizes the good that that can come, recognizing that medical care can improve and we can improve the health of our society. And as a result of that, provides significant benefits to academic medical centers, largely through tax breaks and other financial incentives to ensure that they are able to achieve their goals.
And then in your article, you describe the threats that corporatization now poses to academic medicine. How have academic medical centers and affiliated entities corporatized in recent years?
There's been a push for academic medical centers to ensure that they remain profitable. In the past, with the payer mix that they had, as well as other benefits that they received, that wasn't particularly hard. And so oftentimes you would hear that the margin that was provided in academic medical centers would fuel the other two tenets of an academic medical center, both the education as well as the research. As the economics of healthcare in the United States has shifted in significant ways, those margins have become slimmer. And as a result, academic medical centers can then look to see how they can shave costs. And oftentimes that may come at the expense of the trainees' experience or in the area of research.
How then have those shifts affected training altogether, including the relationship between trainees and the institutions?
To my mind, it's actually made the process worse. As a program director of an internal medicine residency program and someone who spends a significant amount of time with our trainees, I see the challenges that our trainees face as they go through medical education at this time. our hospitals are filled to capacity. Our clinics are filled with patients routinely overbooked. The clinical churn that is in those situations is particularly high. And what gets lost in that is the opportunity to reflect on lessons learned, to be able to foster intellectual curiosity in those trainees, to be able to start to think about many of the challenges that they face. Faculty who are responsible for teaching our interns and residents and fellows feel intense pressure more to get the work done rather than to focus on what is in the best interest for our trainees. As a result of that, we see a degradation in the environment by which we train our students, as well as our interns, residents, and fellows. And more importantly, we are developing a cadre of trainees who don't have the opportunity to really think about what are the most important unsolved problems in medicine. And as a result of that, we lack more and more the opportunity to develop physicians who are inspired by some of the problems that our patients face today, and those individuals who may then serve to solve many of those problems by dedicating their career in research.
Finally, how could institutions better protect trainees from these negative effects of corporatization going forward? And is there a role for policymakers and regulators in the area?
There are no simple solutions to this problem. The healthcare economics is a complicated one, and I don't presume to know that there is an easy answer to how we're going to solve many of these problems. What I do believe is that academic medical centers should go back to their roots and recognize why they exist and what society expects of them. They're expected not only to provide outstanding patient care, oftentimes advanced care that other community-based hospitals may not be able to provide. They're expected to be able to train the next generation of physicians by instilling them not only with outstanding knowledge, but also with the intellectual curiosity to solve some of the greatest medical problems, as well as to support the environment by which science will now solve many of these problems in that area. So while I don't have perfect solutions in those areas, I do believe that there are a couple things that merit some further consideration. First, our funds flow from the government to support graduate medical education, oftentimes to our hospitals. And as a result of that, there can be an apparent conflict of interest between hospital leadership that is keen on profit generation as opposed to focusing on what is the best interest of our trainees. Shifting that flow of money from hospitals to medical schools might alleviate part of that conflict of interest. The second part is to recognize that if academic medical centers are no longer fulfilling their societal good, then the tax benefits that those academic medical centers currently enjoy probably should be reviewed. And third, I believe strongly that leaders who run academic medical centers should be in a position where they work closely with our trainees. These are individuals, despite their time challenges, should also be able to provide leadership that is rooted in servant leadership, recognizing that they should be prioritizing the patient's needs and the needs of our trainees over any financial gain. I do believe that there's an important role that government and policymakers have in reviewing the role of academic medical centers in our society and ensuring that our policies are aligned to ensure that academic medical centers continue to provide a societal good.
Thank you, Dr. Villas.